There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Mobile. This is not Sean Sullivan. This is Cam Marston. I'm sitting in for Sean, and I've got two sidekicks with me here today that I'll introduce to you momentarily. Sean is out on auditioning for Naked and Afraid, and whether that's true or not, let's not get into that, but that's what I say is true. Happy Kwanzaa to those of you that are listening. Today, December 26th, we are going to do a Christmas recap. We're going to talk to people that are in and around our town that's whose businesses and, let's say, lifestyles change around the Christmas season and get some sense of what their Christmas was like and what they're looking forward to from next year. And at this point, I'll bring in my two colleagues, my two sidekicks. Jason Hillier sits to my right. Rob Hinkle sits to my left. And if you're wondering who they are and what we look like and why I've brought these guys in, I don't have a good answer. They're both had little to do today, just like I did, and decided to come in. We drove down Airport Boulevard, and it was about, I would say, a quarter of the traffic that it normally is. Our city's kind of asleep today, post Christmas time. And they came in. We're going to have the Christmas review between the three of us. Let me introduce Jason. This is Jason Hillier. Jason, say hello.
Hello. How are you doing tonight?
And Rob night. Hinkle.
Hey. All
Sam, right.
Thanks for having us.
Let's begin our Christmas recap. I have four children. Christmas is a big deal around my house. The house is chaos, is pandemonium. And my Christmas went fairly well, I would say. No one was overly disappointed. There were not any brawls, no fights, no bloody noses or anything. Jason, how'd it go around your house?
I had a good Christmas. I got everything I wanted and more than I deserved.
Yeah. Rob?
Good. Very good at the Hinkle household.
What we're going to do is talk to some of the people around town who maybe have some different insights into Christmas, and I'll give you a sense of who's upcoming. First, we'll speak to Scott McDonald. Scott is an assistant head of school at St. Paul's, and I bumped into him after telling the guys here that I would be willing to come in. And we're going to talk to Scott about what does he know how to do to keep kids sane around Christmas. I mean, the schools, at least my kids, get a little extra energy, a little extra edge to them. So we're going to ask Scott, hey, what are the tricks to keeping kids in check around the Christmas season? We'll move from Scott to my buddy Sergeant Jeff Islands. Jeff is with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, and we're going to talk to him. He's told me they have some crazy calls come into the Sheriff's Office about different types of needs that are unique to the holidays. So in a little while, we'll get Jeff on the phone to talk to us about that. Chip Dupree works at McCoy Outdoors. McCoy's is the place where I go in, and I have to leave my wallet in the car, or the impulse spending goes out of control. I want to know what the coolest gifts were for the holidays this year, things that they couldn't keep in stock at McCoy's. From there, John Riggins is going to be on the line with us. John is the Reverend at St. Paul's Episcopal Church. John always has some great insights into many different things, and we're going to talk to him about the Christmas season. Momentous Christmas memories he may have. I mean, the reason for the season, that's John's work. So we're going to talk to John about that. We'll go from John to Carly Waters. Carly is a dietitian. She's going to help us figure out a diet for 2019. And if you looked at my food consumption yesterday, you would flinch. There was nothing that was edible within arm's reach that I didn't eat. It was grotesque. And finally, one of the ones I think that'll be perhaps most interesting is Dr. Melissa Costello. Melissa is a emergency room physician, and we're going to talk to her about the different types of injuries or things that come through the doors of the emergency room this time of year that may be different from other times of year. So I'm kind of eager to talk to Melissa about that. So going forward, and we'll finish up with some New Year's resolutions. We'd love to hear from you all what your Christmas recap looks like, what it was, thoughts about this year at Christmas. Did the government shutdown impact you in any way? Did it cause your Christmas to change? You can call or text 343-0106. Excuse me. 343-0106. We look forward to hearing from you. Rob, give me some interesting, some overviews of your Christmas this year. Something that, as you look back for 2018, something that may come to mind and stand out this year.
Around our house, and it's been my ninth grader that has been the recurring theme, it's been challenging for some reason to get into the Christmas spirit this year. I don't know what the challenge has been. I don't know if it's the weather, the busyness. Maybe her age has contributed to her. You know, she's gotten older. She's in high school now. But typically I found that this time of year things slow from a business perspective, and that hasn't happened this year, and I think it's made it a little more difficult just to really immerse into the Christmas season.
My business typically slows as well this time of year, but it did not this year. I mean, there's a string of emails that I need to get to once we're done with this stuff to keep business percolating for 2019. I remember in the past looking at the calendar thinking, I can't wait for December to come for because things will slow down, and that has not been the case around my household these days. Jason, what about you?
Good Christmas. Have two teenage boys that are, well, I guess they're in their 20s now, college-age boys, and they keep it interesting.
Yeah. Any big commitments out of these? You're in a different chapter of life than we are, than Rob and I are, because your boys are both out of the house, right? You're empty nesters.
Empty nesters.
How is Christmas around a house for an empty nester?
They're home for Christmas, which makes it more interesting because you're not used to having them there.
Yeah.
So they're in and out of the house at strange hours, and you're not used to somebody walking in your door at 1:30 in the morning, but it happens.
No, I can imagine that. We would freak out in our household if that were to happen like that. Is there a certain feeling I hear parents get when the roost is full, when their kids are back home? Does that happen around your household?
Yeah, it's enjoyable. I mean, it's good to have them around and find out what they've been up to and what they're looking forward to.
Do they ask, does a child that age ask for gifts for Christmas? Do they have a list?
No, not. It's more challenging to buy for them.
Yeah, yeah. Rob, what about you guys?
As far as gifts?
Yeah.
A lot of gifts are, I think, purchased before Christmas gets there.
Oh, yeah?
And then wrapped and put under the tree.
There's your wife stalks the gifts down and prepares well in advance, huh?
Yeah, and actually this year even one gift got unwrapped without permission before Christmas and showed up at the beta winter formal, wearing a pair of jeans that were supposed to be a Christmas present. I won't divulge the guilty child that did that, but you know, one guess and you could probably land on it.
I know your family well enough to know exactly who did that, and I'm kudos to her. She's a brazen soul. Thank goodness for her, because you would she keeps us all honest.
She keeps it interesting, that's for sure.
I got one that's similar to that myself. Well, we've got my four kids are the Elf on the Shelf thing. Christmas recap and the Elf on the Shelf. I wrote something about this not long ago, and we told our kids last year that the Elf on the Shelf got Ebola and was under quarantine, and we actually had the UPS driver in the neighborhood deliver the UPS letter to the door, and it was from Santa, and they opened it up and said, "We're sorry to regret to inform you that your child or that your elf has Ebola and is under quarantine, and if he lives, he won't be here till next year." And kids were crushed. It was probably unholy what we did, but you know what? That Elf on the Shelf thing. Somebody has a great idea in terms of selling those things, but those of us that have to fulfill the Elf on the Shelf commitment, it's tough, man. It's tough. Have you guys go through that, Rob?
Yes. Now, we are not still in it right now, but it was a challenge back in a few years ago.
Yeah. It's hard to be that creative, and I see some of the pictures that many of the parents do to create these extraordinary scenes, these extraordinary tableaus, if you will, of what the elf has gone through the year before, and you think, who has the time to do this? First, the creativity must be acknowledged. That's impressive. But who has the time to do this after the kids go to bed?
Cam, I'd let you know, it does come back around. My boys participate now.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
They participate.
They handle the mischief of the elves.
Do they really?
I can't share some of them on the air, but it's usually entertaining.
it's usually somewhat inappropriate?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the advantage of college-age kids. I guess you can all laugh together at what the elf does. Well, when we come back, we're going to have Scott McDonald's teaching us how to keep kids sane during the Christmas holidays. Scott's a teacher at St. Paul's School, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, it's Cam Marston. Sean Sullivan is not here. We're sitting in for him today. We've gotten word that Sean was disqualified from Naked and Afraid. We don't know exactly why. There's a story there somewhere. Eager to hear that. But on the line, as we do our Christmas recap, Christmas 2018 recap, I got Scott McDonald. Scott is the assistant head of school at St. Paul's. And when you say, why did you call Scott to be on the show? I bumped into him a couple days ago and asked him if he would be willing to be on with us. Scott, welcome to the show. Thanks very much.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on the radio.
Yeah, this is probably not a part of your job description as assistant head of school is to be interviewed on the radio, but in my household leading up to Christmas, it's just a zoo. It's just pandemonium. There's an extraordinary amount of energy in the kids, and I can only imagine at a school it's turned up tenfold. Is that about right?
It is. Around the school, you got to realize the school that we're at, we're pre-K 4-year-olds all the way through 18-year-old seniors, and there's such a gamut of emotions that go on during the Christmas time, especially the younger ones. They're jacked up on sugar and Mountain Dew and Christmas parties, and then you have the 7th graders through the 12th graders who are getting prepared for exams and stresses like that gets them ready to get to the Christmas holidays. So yeah, it's an amazing emotional time. It's a lot of fun to be around, I'll tell you that.
Do the teachers look forward to Christmas season at school, or is it a crunch time for you all that you think, well, it's an inevitable that it's going to come, we're just going to have to gut this out?
Yes and yes. I mean, everybody loves the Christmas holidays. I mean, there's something that's so pure about seeing young people excited for the holidays, so that's awesome. Teachers love it. I mean, that's the great thing about teachers. They get into the business because it's a calling. That, you know, their job is to light a candle on each kid and guide them along their journey. It tends to get a little stressful around that time period because if you think about it, educators leading up to the Christmas holidays, it's 18 weeks of engaging, inspiring, trying to motivate and encourage kids to learn new topics that they might not necessarily read and want to learn about. It's their job is to care, passionate towards these students. And once you get past the Thanksgiving holidays, around three weeks, those educators have to have an ironclad plan, knowing that everywhere these kids look, they're inundated with Christmas holidays, the radio, stores, the neighborhoods. So their mind is not necessarily always on education at that point. It's Santa Claus, it's elves on the shelf, it's sugar, it's cookies, it's everything. So you know, they have to be super prepared, and our gals and guys, our teachers do a phenomenal job of keeping them on task.
Hey, Scott, this is Rob. I know that of course my kids are at St. Paul's too, and I know that spirituality is one of our four pillars at St. Paul's Episcopal School, but I know we also have a mixed group of kids that are not all necessarily Christian that go to our school. Just curious how much the school introduces or brings in the true reason for the season as we lead up to the holidays.
Well, I think that's a great question. I think what makes St. Paul special as an Episcopal school is with the Episcopal identity, it's all-encompassing, it's inclusive. Really just try to teach about God's love and being inclusive of other faiths and other people and other beliefs. And that's something that we hang our hat on. That's part of our mission. So we really want to be able to provide an opportunity for spirituality, and knowing that we do have students of various faiths, just to really embrace that moment and really emphasize God's love. So that's really what we try to strive for.
Scott, you mentioned something a moment ago, that the teachers have to have an ironclad guide or rule for getting the kids ready for the holidays. What is, you know, what would that look like if there's a parent who gets frustrated with the kids leading up to the holidays and their excitement, et cetera? What idea can you convey to a parent to say, here, listen, this is how we do it in the school to get people up to the holidays. Here's an idea you parents can run with.
I think when we're talking about ironclad plans and preparation, specifically in that post-Thanksgiving excitement time, what we're talking about in the educational field is if it's a 55-minute class, you better plan for 65 minutes. So we have that every minute accounted for the best that you can, because we have great, great kids at our school at St. Paul's, and even great kids when they're excited about a certain holiday like Christmas. Great kids make bad choices sometimes. So if you plan and overplan those minutes that you're with them, they respond in such a great way, and that's what we want to do.
I'm curious your thoughts, Scott, about the news recently about the president and the asking the kid about their belief in Santa Claus. You familiar with all that that's been on, going on the past week or so?
I haven't heard that, but
he questioned whether a child. I haven't read it verbatim, but it was something about whether the child was too old to be a believer or not. My question for you is: do you deal with these things in school where you have kids of all ages and all experiences and Santa Claus conversations? How would you advise a teacher to walk delicately around that conversation when you may have a room half full of some that believe one thing and half full of some that believe another?
We do have that. We had a situation this year in kindergarten, and sometimes you have a little person who announces to a class that Santa might or might not be real, and we address that with first the family that has the little one that made the announcement, but then we'll actually try to communicate the best that we can to say, we talk about belief, and if you believe, and stuff like that. So luckily, little ears, when they do hear that, you can manipulate it a little bit. I know that there's been a couple experiences with my two boys. They go to St. Paul's too, where we've addressed that a couple years back. But if you believe, I still preach it. If you believe, then you will receive, and if you don't, you won't. So throw those deals.
Go ahead.
Hey, Scott, this is I want to get a little bit away from the school. I know on the break we had talked about you'd maybe had an event at your house that involved your elves on the shelf. I know as a kid growing up, I always thought of my teachers or even the principal as, like, that's all they were, is my teacher. Like, I never connected that they were a parent or a sibling or a child. And just to bring a personal perspective from your angle, I kind of held you off during the break to hear the whole story, but I understand there was an accident possibly that occurred with your elves on Christmas Eve this year.
Oh, there was. It was actually 4:30 in the morning, Christmas Eve morning. I'm in bed, dead asleep, and it sounded as if an airplane crashed through one of our big windows in the back of our house. Glass shattered, just a huge noise. Our dog, who was looks like a white wolf, came springing back into the bedroom. Instantly, you pull the sheets off, and you're like, oh my gosh, something's in the house. And literally, our entire 9-foot Christmas tree was laying on our living room. Glass ornaments shattered all over the floor, you know, lights on the floor. It's one of those things you're just kind of still asleep and looking at this, and it's just, it's disbelief. And then, you know, you see our two little elves, Buddy and Jingles, sitting right next on the little by the fireplace. You're just like, you know, this is going to be an easy explanation in the morning if the boys wake up real quick. But, you know, that's one of those situations where you're walking in there. I'm telling my wife, I said, watch out, there's a glass. I take one more step, and literally it goes through the bottom of my foot, this glass through the bottom of my foot. And this is depressing to me just because it was my favorite Oklahoma Sooner ornament in my foot. So that's not boding well for my Sooners here probably on Saturday, but you know, we were able to blame the elves on the tree falling because we have some rowdy elves at the house.
It sounds like it. I can't help but wonder if you're not a believer after all that. Maybe it really was the elves.
Well, you know, it's even crazier than that is Christmas Eve night. The whole family woke up, heard something, and all the lights on our along our gutter out front were disconnected. Someone was pranking us for sure, but not sure who it was. That's a good thing about working at a school. You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
Students like to get ornery sometimes, and, you know, it's the younger the kids. You know, we have to, like I said, all the way down to four-year-olds.
Scott, we got to go. We're headed into the break. I appreciate your time. I look forward to catching up with you again soon. Thanks very much, and thanks for your advice on keeping the kids busy. Good stuff.
Yes, sir. Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Take care. Scott. We'll be back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. You're listening to Midday Mobile. My name is Cam Marston. I am not Sean Sullivan. Sean is out and about someplace. He's asked me to fill in. I've brought two buddies in here, and we're doing the Christmas recap from 2018, rather, the Christmas review. Send us a text. Give us a call, 343-0106. And what I've got is a group of people whose businesses, our lifestyles, let's say, change dramatically around the holiday season. Next up is Sergeant Jeff Island. Sergeant Island and I are colleagues in pain at Rushiki Leatherwood's boot camp, and we suffer through that thing together with one another. Jeff, your business has... First, welcome to Midday Mobile. Thank you so much for your time. How you doing?
I'm good, Cam. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet, pal. What changes the most in the sergeant's office? I'm sorry, in the sheriff's office around the holiday season? It's a season full of mirth, a season full of fun, frivolity, whatever you want to say. You've got to see some changes in the way your day looks during the holiday season, huh?
Yeah, fortunately, the holiday season, you know, it's a very good time of year. One of my favorite seasons, but us on the law enforcement side, we get to see the bad aspect of the holiday season, and that would involve an increase in burglaries, an increase in thefts, and an increase in robberies.
Jeff, there's been an extraordinary amount of content, I feel like, on social media of people taking gifts off the front porch. And I'm sure with a guy like you, you think, listen, it's awful, you shouldn't do it. Is that something, obviously, is it something you wish you didn't have? That's a silly question. How do you tell people to deal with this type of thing?
Well, you can contact UPS, you can contact FedEx, you can request to have packages dropped off at the rear of your residence. That will be the easiest route to go. A lot more security systems these days on houses. They have helped catch criminals, as well as the doorbell system with the camera in it. That's been a big help to us.
It seems to be either it's getting more attention now, or the incidence of it is increasing now. Maybe it's due to all the outdoor cameras that are somewhat new. At least they seem new to me. Is it okay to shoot this guy in the foot if you catch him?
Well, it is an increase in the cameras. I don't think it's increased in activity, so to speak, more so than the past few years, but it has increased as far as, you know, how many homeowners have camera systems in their houses. And that's the trend nowadays, is to, you know, install your security system so your property can be secure. As far as shooting the people in the foot, if you catch them, I would not go to that extreme. I would let law enforcement handle the situation.
I know that's what you're supposed to say, Jeff. I know that's what you've been trained to say when you've done your media training. They've told you that let law enforcement take care of it. But, Jeff, if you caught somebody stealing the gift off your front porch, what would you do?
I would catch them. I'd probably lay hands on them and take care of it myself.
There you go. I just heard you say, shoot them in the foot. That's what I just heard. That's great. Tell me other kinds of calls that you're getting this time of year that are unusual to the season. That are unusual, well, times.
We always have the increase in robberies. Unfortunately, it's majority of the time it's the gas station robberies. Therefore, the sheriff's office and Mobile City Police Department, you know, we all set up robbery details where we'll, you know, increase our patrols during the nighttime hours using unmarked vehicles, looking for suspects that our detectives have identified, certain vehicles, certain individuals, and we'll just see if we can locate them at these gas stations before they commit a crime.
Do you have a story, Jeff, or a tale of that's kind of shared around the office, around the workplace, of some crazy holiday things that most people would be surprised to hear about?
Yes, there's always an increase in the amount of drugs that you find wrapped up as Christmas presents this time of year.
Really?
The guys that I supervise, I've got four of them on the interstate. That's what they look for. They look for the big drugs, and it never fails. Once a year, we get some sort of package that's wrapped up in Christmas as a Christmas gift, and it will be full of drugs.
Really? Ron?
It's disguised in with the regular Christmas presents, you know, whatever else they have.
Hey, Jeff, this is Rob.
Hey, Rob.
You know, it may be my assumption, but I hear more, sounds like more criminal activity this time of year than most of the year. And not to get too deep into motivation, but do you feel like it's more a sense of desperation in that people want to have more and give more, you know, if they get away with it? Or is it more of an opportunity, there's more opportunity this time of year to take advantage of people maybe not securing their vehicle or their houses like they should? Is it, and maybe it's a combination of both, but just wanted to get your opinion on what drives the increase in criminal activity this time of year.
Well, that's a good question. I think it's a combination of both. Of course, everybody wants their presents or gifts for Christmas. Some people do not have family that will take care of them. They don't have the financial means to purchase gifts for themselves, so they look at it, which leads into a crime of opportunity. The stealing of packages off porches, you know, more gifts are dropped off at residences during the Christmas season than any other season. I think it's the increase of the amount of people that are out and about with money to spend on, you know, gifts and whatnot, so it makes robberies a lot more frequent. The malls and other retail stores are flooded with cars. It's not hard for a criminal to walk up and down the aisles and, you know, shake a handle and see if a car opens. And if it opens up, they're going to take whatever they want to out of it.
Mm.
Jeff, would you choose Mardi Gras or Christmas? Which is the crazier season for you?
Oh, absolutely, Mardi Gras.
Tell me a little bit about Mardi Gras. What's going on in Mardi Gras that's different from Christmas?
It's just the volume of people all in one location. You know, Sheriff's Office and Mobile City Police Department, we combine forces. We have a lot of guys and ladies down there on foot, some in plain clothes, some in uniform, some in vehicles that are just, you know, riding the area. It's the volume of people that are down there, and not only mobilians, but people from out of town that are experiencing it the first time. And, you know, we get to interact with a lot of people there in Mardi Gras, and the majority of it is very positive, and I enjoy it.
What's the most surprising thing about Christmas season at the Sheriff's Department? What do most people that are listening not realize what's going on down there around Christmas season?
A lot of behind the scenes things that are going on, a lot of fundraising. We have our No Shave November, which they extended through the end of December.
That's right. Tell everybody about that. Jeff, back up and tell everybody about the No Shave thing.
The No Shave November, it's a fundraiser, and it people can donate toward it. It's mainly done on Facebook and other social media sites. People can donate money. It starts off, I believe, with a $50 donation that allows the person to grow their beard through November, which luckily the Sheriff's Office has extended it through December, the holiday season, allowing us to gain money for, you know, different charities around town. And the other charity we support are the veterans. We have certain gift boxes that we get. We will actually donate to different veterans' homes around Mobile so that, you know, nobody's left out for Christmas.
That's good. I knowing you and seeing you fairly frequently, I know you're into this beard-growing effort here. It's it's appalling, though it's for the right reason. You're, you know, if those of you all don't know, he keeps his head shaved and grows the beard. He looks like his head's on upside down, but he can work out, baby. He's does that boot camp with me.
Well, I appreciate that, Ken.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's exactly what you want the marketplace to know, right? Set your heads up on upside down.
That's it.
Yeah. So I appreciate it. That's great. Going forward, what do you expect to change from the Sheriff's Office next year, 2019? What's your plans?
It should be hopefully the same for the most part. We're still waiting on the city to see if they roll back their police jurisdiction or not. If they do, that's going to be an increase in patrol area for our guys. And if so, we probably will have to hire some more deputies to cover that area. So other than that, we're hoping everything will still run smooth and be about the same.
Yeah, sounds good. Tell everybody how much – this is kind of personal. Tell everybody how much weight you've lost doing this boot camp with me.
About 25 pounds.
It's impressive. This guy's a monster. He's crushing it. He's absolutely crushing
it. Hey, Jeff, does Cam really participate in Rashiki's workout?
He absolutely does participate. Absolutely.
Thank you very much for that. Very much for that. How do you determine? I've always wondered how you guys determine who works Christmas versus New Year's. How do y'all dole that out? Those are both busy nights, I imagine. How do you figure out who gets to work which date?
It's whatever patrol deputies are on duty.
So do you schedule? Do people choose those dates? Do they get scheduled into them?
It's just however the schedule rolls. They work 12-hour shifts, and if your day rolls on Christmas Day, then you typically work Christmas Day. And you always have the option of taking off. You know, one or two deputies per squad can take off, and if push comes to shove, and, you know, if you got a good friend and you can find somebody to work for you, that would work too.
Yeah, yeah, sounds good. Do you enjoy that at all? I mean, there's a part of me that says you don't want to get bored. There's another part that says those dates are so eventful that maybe you'd prefer not to. What do you think?
Yeah, they typically stay busy, not so much in the morning time, but once everybody gets up and out and about, then, you know, we start getting the calls, just your normal calls. It's nothing too terribly bad on Christmas Day, so luckily.
Yeah, kind of quiet out there. It's leading up to Christmas where all the activity goes on, huh?
Yeah, it's typically New Year's Eve night is when the activity starts to pick up.
New Year's Eve night. Now, I've heard in New Orleans that all the cops will stand under the overpasses because of the bullets falling from the air. You heard that before?
I have heard that before, but we get more of the, of course, drunks on the roadway, the noise complaints of people shooting fireworks.
Yeah, yeah.
Mainly from people that don't understand that the county does not have a noise ordinance, but we still respond to that call if requested.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff, I appreciate your work, and I will see you Friday, my man.
Yep, thanks, Jeff. Absolutely. Be safe, and thanks for your service.
Thank you all for having me again.
All right, bud. Bye-bye. We'll be back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Sean is out. This is Cam Marston. I'm sitting here with Rob Hinkle and Jason Hillier, who just can't stop talking, and talking about a Christmas recap from 2018. On the line is Chip Dupree. Chip is with McCoy's Outdoor. He is their bait and tackle expert, and when I walk into McCoy's, like I said earlier, I need to leave my wallet in the car because the impulse purchases really get to me. Chip, thanks for your time. Welcome to the show.
Glad to do it. Thank you.
Chip, tell me what the hot item was at McCoy's this past year.
Well, there were several, but one of them was a reel made by Shimano. It's called a Corrado with a digital control thing in it. We actually had a billboard that featured that through Shimano, so that was a hot item this year.
Is it a light tackle, heavy tackle? Tell me what you're going to use that reel for.
It's a light tackle inshore or freshwater fishing reel. You know, anywhere from 8 to 12 pound test line. A lot of our speckled trout and redfish guys use it. It's got some electronics built into it so that when you cast it, it breaks itself rather than you having to do it manually. Prior to this reel, the DC reels that Shimano came out with were about $500 and really unaffordable to a lot of folks, but this one was only $249.
So you've got a reel with electronics in saltwater fishing. It seems like a recipe for things to break.
Well, that was a big concern with a lot of folks, but I've sold three of them to guys that only saltwater fish and do not take care of their equipment, and they're still working.
Well, that's great. That's great. I've never heard of this. It's fantastic. That's awesome. What else flew out the door this year that kind of surprised you guys?
Well, we kind of took a chance on some new dry bags and coolers made by a company called OtterBox. I'm sure y'all are familiar with. You know, they make phone cases and things like that. We put those out, and 2 weeks before Christmas, they were sold out, and we restocked and just about sold out again. So OtterBox coolers and dry bags were a big hit this year.
Do you think the floor traffic in your store doubles before the Christmas season, triples? What is the number?
I can't give you an exact number, but we do, gosh, I'll say better than a quarter of our business in the 10 days leading up to Christmas. So it's a big, big, big time of year for us, and we work real hard to be prepared for it.
Hey, Chip, this is Jason. I know
yeah,
we just
why aren't
had
you in here, Jason.
I've been in there plenty, believe me.
I know.
We've had Jeff Island with the Sheriff's Department on earlier. Do y'all have any problems with shoplifting, theft?
We do, and unfortunately, we don't know that something's missing until we go to count it, or if you find a tag, you know, hidden away somewhere in the store, and then inventory's off. We do try to keep an eye out. You know, we try to keep plenty of people on the floor and just eyes on everybody, because I think the last time we caught some girls, it was three girls that you would never suspect of doing anything wrong, and between the three of them, they must have had $1,500 worth of stuff stuffed into their purses and their pants and that kind of thing. But it is an issue. Definitely an issue, probably more so this time of year.
Now, when you catch them, when you catch these girls, do you prosecute them or do you just reprimand them?
We lock the door so they can't get out, and we just wait till the police get here, and we let them take care of it. But, yeah, definitely.
Sergeant Jeff Island would tell you to shoot them in the foot.
I don't know if my conscience would allow me to do that.
Yeah,
especially
yeah.
Not to three cute girls, you know.
Yeah. How old were they?
They were in their, they were probably in their late teens, and I can't shoot anybody in the foot. I carry a .45. They'd bleed to death, and I'd be in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, and you'd probably ruin the floor.
Yeah, probably so.
I had one of my children, years and years back, walked out of a store with a watch that he had picked up. Now, he was unaware that he had shoplifted. And when I confronted him about it, he immediately knew that something was wrong. So I called the store and I said, I'm going to bring my son back. He has walked out with this little child's watch. I didn't know about it till we were home again and I saw it in his pocket. But I'm going to bring it back and I'm going to make him bring it to you. And the woman who runs the store's response was very interesting to me. She said, well, okay, thank you for doing this. Do you want me to reprimand him or scare him? She had been mm-hmm. through it enough times that she knows some parents just want the store owner to reprimand the child, and other parents want the store owner to scare the daylights out of that kid to make them afraid of doing it again. And right. I said, well, I've already given him the scare. I think the reprimand will work. Do you ever get parents that come back and say, my kid's walks out with this, and I'm bringing it back, and he make him bring it back to you or something like that?
I'm not aware of that happening in this store. But I think I know what to do in the event that it does come up now, thanks to you.
Yeah, there you go. So going forward, 2019, I was having a conversation with a buddy not long ago. Have you already picked the go-to gift for 2019? Is this a marketing ploy, or is it really an organic thing?
Well, we go to a couple of different buying shows over the year, and a lot of the stuff that we sold, that OtterBox stuff, for example, I bought back in August, specifically for Christmas, and it worked out well. And we'll be going to another one in Phoenix next month, and I imagine there are going to be some things that we'll see there that are interesting for next year that we'll get into. But yeah, we try to. It's not always easy to do, because you know, you see something in August that you think will move well in December, and sometimes it just doesn't. You know, but you got to pick things that you think that our clientele are going to be interested in. And hard coolers have been very difficult to come up with anything new other than Yeti. Soft coolers are a little bit different, and these were a little bit different and looked good. And, you know, that we just thought that McCoy shoppers would enjoy them, and they did.
Hey, Chip, this is Rob. How are you?
I've known you for a long time. I'm good, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. Doing good. Just having a good time on the radio. Going back to, you know, we hit on the topic of guns and shooting people in the foot, and I know you focus mainly in the fishing department, but with the political environment, gun control hawks out there, I'm just curious if y'all get a feel for the number of first-time gun owners that purchase a firearm there in McCoy's, and does that seem to be increasing or decreasing, or do you even have a pulse on that?
One of my other jobs here at McCoy's is ATF compliance. So I'm not behind the sales counter a lot, but I do a lot of all the paperwork on any firearm coming into or out of the building. And I'll tell you this, right now with a Republican in the White House, there's no panic in gun sales. Mm-hmm. The economy being good this year, we saw an increase in high-end hunting rifles and shotguns and things like that. And we always get guys this time of year that are buying their wives or daughters their first carry guns. So not really much of an uptick. When you really see a big uptick in firearm sales is when Second Amendment guys get nervous. You know, if somebody up in Washington starts talking about gun control again, then you really see droves of people coming in and buying guns, and you're just not seeing that right now.
Chip, we appreciate your time. Thanks very much. Everybody, Chip Dupree, McCoy's Outdoor. If you got money to spend, it will be spent there easily. Chip, we'll see you again.
Thanks, Chip.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.